The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ceasefire in Lebanon has brought a temporary halt to fighting, but the conflict in Gaza rages on with no resolution in sight. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces mounting pressures, including that ICC arrest warrant and criticism of his handling of the wars. So what comes next for the Middle East? We're joined now by Duncan Bullivant, who is CEO of the Henderson Group and International Risk Management Advisory. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What is your assessment of whether or not this ceasefire can hold? I mean, there may be minor breaches here and there, but can the bones of the thing hold together?
Well, it may hold long enough to allow the conditionality for some kind of ceasefire in Gaza. And I think that's the best hope at this point. But actually, the ceasefire agreement, when you dive into the detail of it, it's simply a repeat performance of the 2006 UN Security Council Resolution 1701. It's a reset, effectively demanding that Hezbollah does not operate or exist south of the Litani River. In fact, this resolution goes a little bit further, and it says that there should be no other armed groups other than government forces and the armed forces of Lebanon operating in Lebanon full stop. And that's just pie in the sky. That's never going to happen.
Now, the criticism from Israel of UNIFIL was that it wasn't doing the job that it was mandated to do in 1701. What is going to change, do you think, about the mandate is the same, but in terms of operational carry-on by UNIFIL, will they be buttressed by more armed forces from different countries?
Well, I think there are two elements to that. One is that the commitment under this agreement is for 10,000 Lebanese peacekeepers, Lebanese military to actually move into the area. But it's also fully supported by the United States and France. And the French, I think, are going to increase their contingent size there considerably. I mean, I think in Israel's defense, and there's not an awful lot of that around at the moment, in Israel's defense, you can argue that the UN mission to secure 1701 was an abject failure, which is why we've got to the situation we're in now. But the idea that this is a long-term ceasefire leading to a long-term peace and stability in Lebanon, I think is fantasy. And I think effectively the Israelis have baited the trap now for Iran and for Hezbollah, because at some point they're going to breach this.
Now, the question of operating south of the Litani River, they're trying to keep Hezbollah out of there. If they are north of the Litani River, is it that their rockets, the current level of sophistication, simply can't reach northern Israel if they are north of the Litani River? Is that the calculation?
That was the calculation in 2006, but technology has moved on. And two of the issues, I think, that this peace, this ceasefire has effectively improved on 1701 is, first of all, that any military activity carried out by non-government players within Lebanon is prescribed and would be a breach of the ceasefire agreement. And also, and I think very importantly, is that all parties, all signatories now accept the fact that the only legitimate way in which weapons or warlike material can enter Lebanon is via the Lebanese government. In other words, Iran supplying equipment direct to Hezbollah would be an indirect breach of this ceasefire agreement and would allow Israel to take all means necessary to reduce it.
Now, talking about 10,000 Lebanese army personnel going into the area to try to police it alongside UNIFIL, we were talking to someone, a reporter living in Beirut at the moment, who said that the army poorly paid. Many of them have part-time jobs as well, just to keep body and soul together. So what kind of fighting force might that be?
Well, not massively effective. And in the face of Hezbollah, historically, ground has been ceded. We have to remember that Hezbollah, sits within the government organs as well. It's not sitting on the outside of Lebanese society and Lebanese politics. It's actually ingrained in it. The other issue to bear in mind is that there has been quite a lot of history of Hezbollah infiltrating the ranks of the Lebanese armed forces. And interestingly enough, in a side in a side deal or a side note to the agreement, the United States has committed to continue to monitor this activity and the potential for Hezbollah and Hezbollah agents to infiltrate the armed forces of Lebanon. So it's precarious. It's very precarious. And I don't think this is designed to last long.
So if it doesn't last long, what is the next step? I mean, you're saying that they've baited the trap for Iran to get involved. In what way do you anticipate that happening?
There will inevitably be ceasefire violations, which will put Israel in a position where, according to the ceasefire agreement, they are entitled legally to take action. So in other words, it puts Israel back in the camp of legal action, although some would argue that Israel has not been acting illegally in Lebanon in defense of its own and the security of its own state. I think where this really does put the pressure is on the United Nations, because the UN have a role in securing this ceasefire. But it also puts the pressure on Iran, because Iran is now under the spotlight, and Iran doesn't have the opportunity to operate underneath the radar anymore in Lebanon. And the threat, there's no doubt about it, the threat that was being posed by Hezbollah prior to Israel's interdiction was significant and very real. So from that perspective, the Israelis did what they had to do. Where this affects Gaza, of course, is that all eyes have been on Lebanon for the last few months. Now everybody's going to be sort of focused on Gaza. And there's a lot of talk now about a new ceasefire agreement. The Egyptians have now got involved. An Egyptian delegation has now got involved, which is the first time in a year. But, you know, right now, Netanyahu and his team are unrepentant that there is no deal to be done. There is no conditionality. They want the hostages out. And that's the end of it. And I think we're going to see a ramping up of military action in Gaza over the next few weeks.
Yeah. And who knows, the Israeli... I presume that's at your end. Okay, are you still
responsible?
That's a rather alarming sound.
I don't know where that came from.
now the question of what has happened in Lebanon, I mean, massive destruction, an estimate of something like $8.5 billion for reconstruction. $1 billion has been pledged internationally. Who are the typical donors who are offering this money? And will Israel have to pay anything by way of war reparations for the damage it did to civilian infrastructure, which was not involved in the conflict?
Well, there are a couple of things to bear in mind. One is that historically, pledges don't necessarily always materialize as quickly as one would hope. The other thing to bear in mind is that the world is not economically in a great place at the moment for the usual suspects, i.e. the sort of the Northern Hemisphere usual suspects like the United States, the Nordic countries, Germany and others. So I think that when it comes to reconstructing Gaza, whatever that looks like, and I think we're a long way off that for now, there are two things to bear in mind. One is most of the money is going to be coming from, I suspect, Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And the other thing to bear in mind is that Israel will have a very strong say in what that looks like and who those contracts go to, because they will not want these reconstruction contracts going to Hamas-linked businesses, which will just empower them and give them more wealth. And here we go again in 10 years' time. The other issue, I think, with Israel, would Israel see itself as responsible for paying reparations? Of course not. No Israeli government is going to accept its responsibility. But they will, of course, want to help shape the reconstruction on the basis that actually it creates some form of security guarantees for Israel going forward, none of which is good for the people of Gaza.
Now, looking at the duration of this truce, 60 days, it brings us almost exactly to Trump getting into the White House once again. So is this all game playing, and that Netanyahu knows that Trump will give him the green light, perhaps even to resettle Gaza, to get to conduct ethnic cleansing, either very deliberately or just perforce, because people are starving and there is no subsistence in Gaza anymore, and they will have to leave?
Look, the Biden administration are desperate to secure some sort of legacy out of the Middle East. So they would have been willing to accept a lot of conditionality that has been placed on them by the Israelis. The Israelis have very cleverly, effectively done a reset on 1701, which allows breathing space. They know that next year the U.S. administration is going to be far more hawkish when it comes to Iran. The other thing to bear in mind is that the recent Israeli retaliatory raids on Iran took out Iran's air defense systems. And that's not going to be, they won't be replaced or repaired for at least 12 months. So right now, Iran and Iran's economic infrastructure is very vulnerable to Israeli missile and air attack. And so actually, in many ways, in terms of containing Iran's military objectives, Israel has played a very clever hand. So it does leave Iran on the back foot, a new administration in the new year in the United States, and then perhaps conditionality to finally end this conflict, which I think everybody now appreciates is long overdue, certainly the people of Gaza.
But back to that question, do you see Israel trying to settle Israelis in Gaza?
Within elements of the Israeli government, absolutely. For the majority, I think that would be anathema. But we're in strange times. But there is definitely within Netanyahu's government and within his cabinet, there are those that would actually see that as a perfectly legitimate outcome of what they would have feel they have gained in war.
Duncan Bullivan, CEO of the Henderson Group and International Risk Management Advisory. Duncan, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.